If you weren't able to meet someone new, hopefully you'll stick around afterwards and meet and talk with someone new. Maybe you already know them, but you haven't talked to them in a while. We love hanging out, love for you to hang out after the service. But last week's service was great, wasn't it? Was it? Awesome. I'm glad you all agree, and I am so proud of all of y'all. The panel, which was Michelle, Rachel, and Josh, they had some really nice and lovely words to say about us as a church, about many of you individually. And yes, we are and have been staying in contact with them. I'm so proud of all of y'all, just how you interacted, how some of you went forward, some of you stayed back, some of you, you know, like, okay, can I bombard them? No, let's, you know, we had some protectors, all that stuff. What I'm really proud of is like how many of y'all showed up on time. I was like, this is so awesome. There was someone that came in at 10:29, Pastor, I'm here. And I'm like, that's awesome. You know, you wait till the last second, right? And so it was good. As Guy and I have been meeting, we asked them a lot of questions. We even got to share our own story because they asked, but we really went in just to hear their story. And again, we're going to stay in contact with them, and there were times where it was difficult for us because we wanted to like answer their questions right then and there and give them the truth, but we were like, hey, it's just about building a relationship. And the reason we are doing this is because we're in this middle of this series called One Life, this One Life series, or really this One Night Life initiative. It's initiative because we're going all in. All of our groups are going to be focused on this. Our messages are going to be focused on this. Children's ministry is going to talk about this. We even have journals for you all to pick up after the service. And it's all tied into this really big idea of God using our ordinary lives to make a difference. This is a tagline we have, and you'll be familiar with this if you were here 2 weeks ago. One life, sharing with one life about the one life, which is Jesus. Because it is God's design for you and for me. His purpose for our lives is that we will make a contribution here on this planet. And one of the best ways to make a contribution here on this planet is by being an influence, better yet, a spiritual influence to those who are right around us. God designed every single human being to have a relationship, a connection with him, and also to connect with others. And there's people around us, whether it's family members or friends or coworkers or just that person that don't have, or they are just disconnected from God. And every follower of Jesus, God wants to use your life, your one life, to make a difference. One life, sharing with one life about the one life who is Jesus. Yet there is a battle that goes on inside of us. There are barriers or rather obstacles that we all face. In fact, when we first start talking about this as a staff about 10 months ago, the first things we talked about are all the obstacles. Like, what are those things that prevent us, that stop us, that pushes pause on us, like actually having spiritual conversations with people we care about? Like, what is it? And so we listed down, I listed down a couple. Maybe you can relate with a couple of these. If you're a note taker, you can take these down. But us as Christians, let's be honest, we are weird. Right? We are weird. We act differently, and we're supposed to act differently, right? We look at marriage differently. We look at relationships differently. We look at our finances differently. We're supposed to look at our time differently. And it's okay to be weird, but it's not okay to be a weirdo like this guy right here. Let's see if we have that weirdo guy.
The devil ain't nothing but a snake. Thing about snakes is they ain't got no arms. They ain't got no feet. Well, that's because Satan's been disarmed and defeated.
I mean, it's kind of funny, but that's weird, right? That's like a weirdo thing. True story, a few weeks ago, I'm at Panera, and, you know, I got coffee, and I'm drinking my coffee, and I don't know if this works or not, but I'm blowing into the little hole to kind of cool things down. I don't know if that works, but I just do it. Anyone else do it? Okay, everyone else, it still burns. So I'm blowing, and I haven't taken a sip yet. A guy walks, this is no joke, guy walks by, and he says to me, "You know what also is hot? Hell." I'm like, thank you. Not sure if you know who I am or whatever, or maybe I don't know. But I'm like, that is a weird dough, right? No one wants to be that person, right? Hopefully, And check this out. Here's the thing. Hear me on this. A person is never a project to God. Jesus was drawn to people who were disconnected from him, disconnected from God, disconnected from even church. And here's a crazy stat. I got a few of them for you. 40%, that's almost half, aka 50%, 47%, excuse me, of millennials believe that it's actually wrong to share their faith with someone else. And a lot of that is attributed to the weirdo fact. No one wants to be a weirdo. Factor number two is the fear factor. I think they had a show several years ago about this. The fear factor. I don't know what to say, or what if they come back with this, or what if they get the whole thing? What do I say? I don't know. 62% of people who don't have a relationship with God, they're not followers of Jesus. They were asked, what character trait would you think most likely would you be able to connect with if someone was a Christian? What character trait would you want that person or guy or gal to have if they're going to have a spiritual conversation with you? The number one thing, to listen without judgment. And so if you're an introvert, you're like, I'm not sure I can do this, you're perfect, right? You are the best listeners. Us other extroverts, we're not great at listening. If you think about it, this is the kind of person that doesn't necessarily have all the answers, or maybe they do have the answers, but they know when to hold back and not necessarily give the answer. And as we overcome that fear, we have to realize that there is a power, God power, and also just hearing people's story and just loving them right where they're at. Factor number three is what I call the busyness factor. I don't have time. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got too much on my plate. Jesus says in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he says, therefore go. Go and make disciples of all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I taught you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Those first two words, therefore go. That word go simply means as you're on your way, as you're doing life, as you're on your way to the coffee shop, as you're on your way to your place of work, or as you're on your way to your kids' practices, or to the gym, or just hanging out with your roommates, or as you're on your way watching the Super Bowl, and God, please let the Niners be in the Super Bowl. And make sure the Ravens lose by 100 to that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing with y'all. But go. Go means being intentional. The next factor, the fourth factor, is what I call the comfort factor. We can kind of get used to our relationship with God. What I mean is sometimes we can actually forget what God has done in our lives. We can kind of get used to it. 40% of practicing Christians, check this out, 40% of practicing Christians say they don't have any friendships with non-Christians. Here's a crazier one. 78% of those who follow Jesus haven't talked to anyone about Jesus in the last 6 months. I'm not talking about someone who already knows about Jesus. I'm not talking about home groups. I'm talking about someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. And we can get kind of used to life with God. Obstacle number five is what we call the unqualified factor. I feel unqualified. I'm not smart enough. I don't know. I haven't even read the whole Bible yet. I don't know this verse. I don't know that verse. I just don't know. Or we struggle with this one, with the unqualified. I still struggle with my temper. I still struggle with trying to think of something good. I still struggle with my temper or my attitude or how I talk to people. I still struggle with the internet. I still struggle with that. I got a whole bunch of things in my past, in my closet. I just feel unqualified. Well, guess what? If you're unqualified, that is a job application that you filled out. God says, you are perfect for the job. I like using unqualified people. You're pre-qualified for that job, being unqualified. God isn't looking or even asking for perfection. He's looking for availability. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be someone who's on the stage that is willing to stand up and kind of shout out and kind of do some crazy stuff. He just wants to see, are you available? So the question is, what's next? We had this panel thing that was cool, that was great. Jermaine, I learned some things. We heard some people, heard that there's people that has that are open to spiritual conversation, but what's next? I'm feeling pretty pumped up. In fact, why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask this question? So what's next? Go ahead. What's next? What's next? What's next? You know what? I am glad you asked that question, even though I forced you to ask that question. First off, I want to let you know that we are in this journey. And over the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear terms like three of this 3D one. The one means who's your one. The three Ds mean something. The first D is developing friendships, having genuine friendships with people and not treating people as a project. The goal of developing friendship is being a good friend. Number two is discovering stories. Cultivating conversations, hearing and listening to them, not always ready to give an answer, not always ready to give your story, but just listening to their story. The number one thing, character trait, they're looking for people to listen without judgment. So we're going to talk about that. Then the last D is discerning next steps. And that next steps may be giving someone a Bible. That next steps may be a baby step. Let's go out to lunch again. That next step may say, hey, let's go out to coffee. Hey, I invite you over to my house. Whatever God has kind of laying on your life for those next steps. Now, you might be here listening to this, and you might not be a Christ follower yet, and you're tempted to kind of check out, and this is not for me, or you're like, I'm not going to come back for a couple weeks until you get out of this. My encouragement is for you to stick around, because you will be able to hear our hearts, my heart, and God's heart for you, and that God, even you, wants to do something in your life. He has a plan for all of us. So today I just want to spend a few moments talking about our very first step. It's the most important step. It's vital. It's simply going to God, aka prayer. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to, we're going to be in Colossians, but we're going to be in Timothy. In fact, turn to Colossians. Colossians, if you know what that is, Colossians 4, I just want to look at Timothy real quick. It'll pop up on your screen. I just want to look at one or two verses. 1 Timothy 2, 1 says this. This is Paul writing to a guy named Timothy. He says, I urge you, I beg you, first of all, to pray. Pray for all people, everybody. Ask God to help them and intercede on their behalf and give thanks to them. I love what the Message translation says. It says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know for everybody. Just pray. Verse 2 says, pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives and marked by goodness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, this is talking about God who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. It's important that we need to pray and that who we are praying to and that God is able to heal and transform and even restore people's lives, and there's not a person on this planet that God doesn't love and care for. God wants everyone, it says in verse 4, God wants everyone to be saved and to come to this knowledge of truth. And the more we understand God, the more likely we will pray. And then the more we understand God is not some kind of transactional God, that our relationship with him, and he's like some kind of supernatural or spiritual vending machine, and we got coins kind of put in, and we kind of get our prayers or whatever answer, that God is actually a personal a God. He's personal and prayer. He's looking for personal and prayerful relationship, and there is joy in that we get to experience him. And when we ask him to move, when we're actually glorifying God and ask him to move, he will. We have to go to God. That's step number one, prayer. So how do we pray? And this is where Colossians comes in, some very practical thoughts and very practical ideas. So if you have your Bibles, Colossians 4, verse 2, it's the same guy, Paul. He's writing this letter now, not only to just an individual, he's writing this letter to a church that's in this town called Colossae. And what they did back then, they would write a letter, and then they would read this letter to everybody, then they would pass this letter to other. Verse 2. Paul, it sounds almost the same. Devote yourselves to prayer. Prayer requires commitment. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When I read this and I read the previous verse, a flashbulb went on in my head. I was like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And the reason I say this is amazing is because prayer, what Paul is saying is prayer is connected to gratitude. When you have an attitude of gratitude, you act differently. One of the things that bothers me, and I've confessed some of those things, one of the things that bothers me, there are several things. One of those is people driving in left lane. I can't stand that. Cowboys fans, I can't stand them. Amen on that? No, okay. I can't hate on the Giants because they're just the Giants. But anyway, Guy will hear that later. But there's an attitude of gratitude. But one of those things that I can't stand is people that don't have gratitude. I don't need thank yous or pat on the backs. What I'm talking about, I guess for me, is action. And we have three lovely kids, and we've worked with them. Two of them are adults. One is about to become an adult. We've been working on them with this whole gratitude thing since they've been two. And it's been a struggle. I'm not sure how you, it's been a struggle. It's been good, it's been bad. For me, it's simple things. I provide you with food. I provide you with a nice room. I provide you with, you know, we even bought, like, have an extra car that you three have to share, all that stuff. But when you see dishes in the put away. You know what I'm saying? After you eat something, we're not even asking you to wash them. Just put them in the dishwasher. And here's a crazy concept. When the dishwasher is done, all just empty. You know what I'm saying? They're clean. They're not even disgusting. You know what I'm saying? What's interesting, my two adult children, they have now out of the house in the dorms, and one's overseas, and they are like, man, how come my roommates don't clean up after me? I'm like, thank you, God, for revenge. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is awesome. Gotcha. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking. And I'm like, oh, really? Oh, okay. I would have never guessed that. Gratitude is the most attractive character on people. Gratitude. Maybe that shirt or that dress didn't look good, but gratitude looks good. Man, you look good today. What you got on? Gratitude. There's something about having a spirit of gratitude. And so when we go to God, we come to the spirit of God. God, I thank you so much. I thank you for all that you have done. God, I thank you that you've been good to me. God, I just thank you. I thank you for all the provisions that you provided. Even when things didn't go right, I am so thankful. I thank you that you've been faithful to me, even when I haven't been faithful to you. Gratitude looks different. And we pray different when we come to God with gratitude. Verse 3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. This guy, Paul, is in chains. He's in prison for sharing the gospel, and he's asking God for an open door, maybe literally open the door, you know what I'm saying? But he's asking for wisdom and the right words. And here's the thing, when it comes to prayer, how we pray shapes the effectiveness of what we say. Took me a while to rhyme that. How we pray shapes the effectiveness of what we say. In other words, learn how to pray in a way that is in accordance to God's will, not what I want or trying to treat God as a genie, but God has a purpose here on this planet. So Paul gives us, real quick, four kinds of prayers in this passage. The first one, if you're a note taker, is pray for open doors. It says in verse 3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Now, there are doors that will open and there are doors that will close. So what you're praying for is you're praying for a door of response or even readiness. So you're asking God to open a door that allow the words that come in your mouth that will be effective and communicate well, and that they will see God's goodness and his love. Paul goes on to say in verse 4, pray that I proclaim it clearly as I should. The second type of prayer is to pray for clear words. Verse 5, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, and seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, for me, I enjoy a good meal, right? I enjoy particularly steak, and I don't know what you put on your seasoning of your meats, but some people just put like pepper and salt. We sometimes do pepper and Lowry's. My son has a special kind of steak sauce that he likes. But there's this new sauce. I think I have it right here. I have this new sauce. Hopefully this doesn't go too crazy. I have this new sauce called Meat Church. This is awesome. And I just put this. This is called Meat Church. And it's called the Gospel. It's called the Gospel, right? And there's another one called the Full Gospel. And I'm not sure if they're Christians or not, but I thought it was awesome. And I just doused all my meat with this. It's so good. It's so good. And you could buy yours for $10.99. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what doesn't work? If you oversalt it. If you over-season, I don't care how good that meat is, it could be the best of the best cuts. If you over-season it, you can ruin it. Look what he says. It's verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Not saturated, but seasoned with salt. There's a difference between season and saturation. Seasons with salt. Paul is saying, season your words, season your time with them with grace, that you may know what is the best way to go. Pray for clear words, seasoned with God's grace, so that God can use those words maybe just to pique someone's interest, maybe to have them ask another question, and maybe they're ready for that. Maybe they're looking at you like, I never want to have that conversation with you again. If you have a relationship with them, you will know. And if you're communicating with God, he will also tell you. There have been many times where I'm talking to somebody and God says, TV time out. And I'm like, okay, God gave me this word, or hey, I just want to let you know this or that. And they're like, oh my goodness, how do you know? I said, I don't know, God did. But I'm relying more on God's strength as opposed to my strength and my wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, the third prayer is relational wisdom. Going to God for help. God, I need your help. How to treat this person, how to love for this person, how to care for this person that is helpful. Because again, everyone, there's not a person on this world that's just a project. Remember, God, people are not projects to God. He desires relationships. So that could be an encouragement, or that could be a smile, or that could be a hug, or that could just be listening, or that can just being there. Some of the best conversations I've ever had with people, I didn't say a word. Just be there. They're hurting, they're struggling. I'm just there. I'm just here. What do you think? I don't know. I'm just here for you. Relational wisdom. What's going on? Read the room, so to speak. The fourth one is pray for the person. This is really important to me. I had this revelation a while ago. Sometimes we pray for opportunities. Now, we get this confused with open doors and opportunities. I used to be a person like, God, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity to speak to this person and that person. And I'm like, that's not a bad prayer, but a better prayer would just be praying for that person. I have a one. I started out praying for opportunities for that one, and then all of a sudden, God's like, whoa, 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 TV timeout. How about you just pray for that person? Instead of your opportunity, how about you take yourself out of it, duh, and just pray for the other person? And pray for them by name. I'm praying for Nichelle. I'm praying for Rachel. Watch a video. I'm praying for them. And here's the thing. When you pray for people, your heart connects with them. And when you pray for them by name, as opposed to, I pray for that barista, and that's great. Get to know their name. I pray for my coworker that I can't stand. Oh, pray about that's Bob. You know Bob. You can't stand Bob? Okay, that's right. Pray for him name. Because guess what? God's going to start changing your heart for Bob. Pray for the person. I'll end with this whole idea. Jesus was asked by his disciples, how should we pray? Many of you know this. Hey, pray this way. You know, I pray that. Pray this, you know, about the debts and about forgiving the sins. And then he tells a story. In Luke 11, verse 5, it'll be up on the screen. Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed. Leave me alone. I can't get up and give you anything. You have to have this picture of this guy coming to them in the middle of the night, and he or she is banging on the door. Please open the door. We don't do that anymore. We have Ring now, you know. I already know you. You don't have to ring the doorbell. But you just put that in your mind. Someone is banging on the door. Please let me in. I've been working out, so I can do that. Look at verse 8. I tell you, even though he did not get up and give you the bread because of your friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity. Your shameless audacity. So imagine us going to God. God, I'm praying. I am praying for my friend. You're desperate. That's a desperate knock. I hope they don't answer. But you're desperate. There's something about, there's something that happens when you pray for that person. Something happens to your heart. Your heart begins to break. Your heart begins to weep for them. And God's like, because of your sheer audacity, I got you. And so we've mentioned a couple weeks ago this spot where you can actually pray and get a reminder. So I think we have it on the screen. If you text this number, it will remind you once a week on Mondays at 1 p.m. to pray for your one. Just to pray for your one. You may not know who that is. That's okay. Just at 1 o'clock for 1 minute, 60 seconds, just pray for your one. You may already know. You may have 20. I don't know, but just at 1 o'clock on Monday, just pray for your one. You'll get a reminder, an encouragement that goes in. So I hope that you already have done that. Today, before you leave, we're going to encourage everyone here to pick up a journal, a prayer journal that you can go through, you can pray through. There's different Bible verses, all this stuff there over the next several days, over the next several weeks, excuse me, throughout this series. Just pray. We cannot skip this step. Please hear me on this. Don't start running to your one. You hear me correctly. Don't start running to your one and saying, I gotta become a friend with you and all this stuff. Like, I want to share the gospel. No. I'm not saying don't do that, but your number one step should be prayer. Go to God. And so we have this. What's so cool is we also have, you know, I have a great team. They put this together for the kids. They have their own prayer journal. We want our kids to be better than us in prayer. That's the only thing I want my kids better than me. It's prayer. And so they're going to be challenged as well. We want to encourage you to journey with them through this. Prayer is so important because it's about going to God. We go to our skills so often. It's about going to God first. That's how we're going to be an influence. At this time, we're going to have our worship team come on up. And we're going to have communion together. We thought it would be a great time to do communion. As we relaunch the second phase of this One Life series, now we're about to get practical. Really practical. And so over the next few weeks, we hope you will join us. The challenge that we had 2 weeks ago is come every week. Last week we had this incredible panel. We were like pumped up, excited, and ready. But now we're going to get really, really practical over the next several weeks. So it'd be great to start off by just going to God and remembering who He is and what He has done. That's what communion is all about. And so if you haven't had communion, or you don't have the juice and the bread, or if you're a gluten, we have that available. If you just go ahead and lift your hand, we have team members that are willing. We have one more. We have one. We have one left. You have gluten-free. I'll take the gluten-free if someone wants. You got extra. Okay. Whoever brought that stuff to church, shame on them. That was me. I thought I brought enough. My bad. If you would, you go ahead and take out the bread. remember, open up the bread first before you open up the juice side. Just saying. Again, the purpose of communion, God, first he calls us, he challenges us, he commands us to continue to do this together, because one day we will be able to do this actually with Jesus. I don't know what your background is, but this is just a symbol of what we will one day do and celebrate with our Lord and Savior. And so if you are a Christ follower, you are someone who believes in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, we encourage you to do this. If you're not, just hold off. Because this is really for those who believe in Jesus. Because we're saying that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He's number one in our life. We're committed to him. We are thankful for what he's done on the cross. How he died, but also how he rose. And so when he was with his disciples, they called it his Last Supper. It was really the Passover Supper. He did something a little bit different than the normal Passover that he did with them 2 years prior. He says, I got to let you know something. Something's about to happen. Something's about to go down. I'm going to be taken captive, and I'm going to have to die. I'm going to die, and the reason I'm going to die is my body is going to be beaten and bruised. And he says, this is what this bread represents. It's going to be a reflection of me being bruised and my body being torn for the sins of the world. So would you take the bread with me? Now you have to imagine, these disciples really don't know what's going on. Like, that was normal, but he was redefining things. He said, the bread is your body? You're going to be torn? No, you're Jesus. You're going to stay here forever. He goes, no, I need to die. I need to be beaten. I need to be abused. I need to have my body whipped and nailed to the cross. Not only for you, for the entire world. For those who will come after you. And then during that meal, he took the cup. He says, hey, I want to let you know, raise my body, this wine, this cup, this juice for us represents my blood. The blood that has to be shed. It will be red, but it's going to, remember that song, it'll wash you as white as snow? He says, you're going to be clean. You're going to be pure. You're going to be better than anything you ever could think of or imagine. But my blood needs to be shed for you who will say no to me. I still am going to die for all. And so he said, hey, take this juice in remembrance of him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we could come together as a family, as friends, under this roof, where we just gather together and we laugh together, maybe we cry together, we sing together, we celebrate, we look at your word together. Communion, community. And as we remember the sacrifice that you paid for us all, we also remember that you rose. You defeated the sting of death. You kicked that out and you said, okay, now we restore this incredible relationship how it's always should have been. You loved us that much. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your beaten body. We thank you for the blood. And Lord God, there may be people here today that do not have a relationship with you, Lord. I pray maybe today is the day. Maybe they heard something. Maybe they realized, wow, that God, I don't know all the answers. I'm still trying to figure this out, but I do know one thing, that he loves me. He cares for me. He wants me around him, and he wants to be around me. Maybe today is that day where you just simply come to him. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for this initiative. We thank you. What you've done in my life and my friends here life, one life sharing with another life who doesn't know you about the one life, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, in your precious name. Amen.